Good morning, everybody. My name is Lena Layton, and I'm a grad student in the lab of Dr. Carl Rovecker at the University of Georgia. And today I'm going to talk to you about assessing body levels in the Abelia genus. So it's a very, an outline of my presentation. I'm going to talk about why Abelia, then go to talk about our flow cytometry studies, and then our cytological studies. Now, for of you that don't know Abelia, that's Abelia, it's a very traditional landscape plant, and it's a very good landscape plant because it has it's deer resistant, it's non-toxic, so if your kid or your pet eat it, they're not going to die. It's heat tolerant, it's, even though it's not native, it's not invasive, it's pest tolerant, and also is drought tolerant. The only downside of Abelia is it's only hardy till zone 5, so the folks up north cannot enjoy Abelia because it dies in the winter. Also, it's a very versatile landscape plant. On spring, you have color leaves. On summer, you get the flowers and the sepals, and when the flower drops on fall, you get the sepals attached to the plant. So in every season, you have something different. The Abelia genus is a very young genus. It was introduced to Europe in 1884 by Clark Abel from China. And the family is Caprophyllaceae, and the whole genus was reorganized in 2015. So now Abelia genus only has 5 species. Before we thought it had around 20. And the species are Abelia chinensis, foresti, a species complex, that is a kind of weird terminology, but it's a bunch of species that they share some characteristics but are not very far apart to rename them as a different species. Abelia uniflora, and we also have a natural hybrid that is Abelia bigrandiflora. Now, the breeding of Abelia has come a long way. Now we have very dwarf varieties with different colors, but only a few cultivars are available. And of those cultivars, only very few are true hybrids. Most of them are spores of Abelia grandiflora. That spores are natural mutation. In fact, one of the most popular ones is Abelia Francis Mason that has the yellow flowers and the yellow leaves, sorry. And this is a spore of Abelia grandiflora. If you look at the species available right now, for example, in the Southern Living Collection that are available for Abelia, for all the Abelias, these four cultivars all are spores of Abelia grandiflora. So what's the problem? We don't know a lot of the genetic information in Abelia. It's reported in the literature some chromosome counts of 32, but no ploidy levels, and only in some species. Ploidy levels are not known, and if they are reported, are contradictory. Some people say that it's diploid, others report that it's tetraploid. And we also get one embryo per cross that we need to rescue by embryo rescue. And the success rate is very low. So if we know the ploidy levels in the genus, we're going to help us with understanding inheritance of traits and also design crosses that will be more effective to introduce characteristics to our advanced more advanced lines. So we use 5 species in our study. We use Abelia chinensis, Abelia angloriana, Floribunda, Grandiflora, Serrata, and also we use 6 hybrids. We use a series of crosses between Edelgartner and chinensis. One is just our hybrid, the other is Rosy Charm, Lavender Mist, Edelgartner. That is a cross between Grandiflora and Schumanni, Francis Mason, that is the spore for Abelia grandiflora, and Abelia raspberry profusion, that is a cross between Edelgartner and chinensis. For our ploidy levels, we use a ploidy analyzer, Cyflor by 6 mix, and our general standards were Abelia grandiflora and Rapa nui sativa variety Saxa. Sample preparation was very straightforward. We took 0.5 centimeters square of the first expanded leaves of the standard and our species of interest. They were chopped together for 60 to 90 seconds with a extraction buffer, incubated 90 seconds at room temperature, and then filtered through a filter of 30 micro miller. And for our stain, we used propidium iodide. And the samples were incubated for 2.5 hours at dark and then keeping the cold till analyzed. For our data analysis, we took 5 samples per genotype in different days in different plants. We count at least 10,000 nuclei per run. And we only use peaks with a coefficient of variance or CV below 5. The total cDNA content was calculated as the mean fluorescence of the sample divided by the mean fluorescence on the standard times the DNA content of the standard. The genome size we calculated using that coefficient that was published in the literature. And for the poly levels, we use Abelia grandiflora as our standard. Now, we don't know the poly level of Abelia grandiflora, but at least we give us something to compare with. It will be the poly level will be the same, bigger or smaller than grandiflora. So going straight to the results. All three accessions of Abelia chinensis that we tested, we only were able to get good results in two of them, meaning that for Abelia chinensis, our accession for the Royal Botanical Garden of we were not able to get peaks with a CV below 5, so I'm not reporting those results. You can see that the amount of DNA is very low. It's around 0.9 picograms of DNA. That is even lower than Arabidopsis, so it's very few DNA. For our species, Abelia angleriana, serrata, and Abelia grandiflora, they have very similar results, around 0.8 and 0.9. Now, the surprise came when we tested Abelia floribunda, that has almost double the amount of DNA than the other species, around 1.96. In terms of our hybrids, Abelia Francis Mason and Edward Garcher had, again, very similar results. That makes sense with our previous results for our species. Just remember that Francis Mason is an exporter of grandiflora, so they should have the same amount of DNA. And for our hybrids, all of them, the series of Abelia chinensis and Edward Garcher crosses, we got the same results on all of them. So that was very nice. In terms of the ploidy levels, when we test all of our species with Abelia grandiflora, we only be able to see one peak, which means that all of them have the same ploidy level. But in the case of floribunda, you get this almost two peak. Now, this is confusing because the peak is not like two times bigger than the other, so it's not like double the amount of ploidy. It's something in between. So to go have more insights, we use cytological studies to confirm all results. So again, we use the same 5 species with the 3 accessions of Abelia chinensis. We use only 2 of the 6 of the hybrids, just Francis Mason and raspberry profusion. We did pollen measurements, so we counted 3 samples of 100 pollen grains, so 300 pollen grains of freshly deceased and anthers. We stained the pollen with acetocarmine. And we observed it at 100x in an inverted microscope, and we measured the diameter of each pollen grain. For our stomata measurements, we did epidermal peels of the apodactyl size, so the bottom part of the leaves, basically. Of the free expanded leaves, we counted 110 random stomata in our field, and we observed it at 400x in an inverted optical microscope again, and we measured the length of each stomata. So if we see at the data, that's Abelia floribunda. Now, what's very interesting is Abelia floribunda does have the bigger stomata length, but does not have the bigger pollen grains. Now, if you see, is Abelia angleriana, the one that has the bigger stomata and the bigger pollen, but it has less DNA than floribunda. And also, serrata has very similar results to floribunda, even though it has half the amount of the DNA. So if we just focus on the stomata length, and you can see serrata has the bigger ones, the bigger stomata, and one of our sections of chinensis has the smaller one. You can see here that they are very different in terms of the size, but even though they have the same amount of DNA. In terms of the pollen, the bigger pollen diameter is for Abelia angleriana, and the smaller one, again, is for another accession of Abelia chinensis. And this is very different. It's almost 3 times bigger, the pollen differences. Now, even though they have the same amount of DNA, the flower shapes are different. So Abelia angleriana, the one with the bigger pollen, has a bilobed flower that can explain why the pollen is different. In terms of Abelia chinensis, that has more like a campanulate type of flower. So the flowers per se, one is bigger and the other is smaller. Now, to make the things more complicated, these 3 accessions of Abelia chinensis, we are sure that they are the same species. they all have different among different somatosize and different pollen sizes, and all three of them have the same amount of DNA. So the difference are very variable. There's a lot of variation between species. Now, I know that you're thinking why you didn't do chromosome count, right? So we're waiting for the chromosome counts. Well, we've been trying, but with a DNA content of 0.9 and 32 chromosomes, you can imagine that those things are tiny, tiny, tiny. So we've been trying. We're not there yet, but we are getting very close. It's just amount of time. So conclusions of our study, that the flow cytometer shows that the amount of DNA in Abelia is between 0.8 and 0.9 picograms of DNA in the species, with the exception of Abelia floribunda that has an amount of DNA of 1.96. Our cytological studies show that is a lot of variability among the species, but the results do not confirm nor support our what the flow cytometer shows. And we do need to do chromosome counts to just confirm this. Hopefully it works pretty soon. I want to thank Dr. Carol Becker, my lab, for the help on my work, and the Institute of Plant Breeding Genetics and Genomics for support my travel and my research. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to take it. Thank you. Question. Yes, Dr. Roy.
So is Abelia floribunda and Abelia, or because as you were flying through your slides there, you had it labeled as something else?
Yeah, well, it was renamed very, like in 2015, it was renamed. It's not an Abelia anymore.
Okay.
It's Vesalia. They changed the name. Yes.
Is there anything about the fertility that may suggest what the fluidity level?
Well, the fertility, we're not able to get any cross with Abelia floribunda. I did, I sent the pollen account, dead pollen in too. And the pollen of Abelia floribunda is very stable at the beginning when the anther it's shedding the pollen, is very viable, but a day later, almost 50% of the pollen is dead. So it's not like a fertility issue. I haven't tested a style fertility yet, but. Yes, James. So the question is, if I've tested Abelia mosinensis. Abelia mosinensis now is not an Abelia anymore again. now it's even in a farther group of, it's not even related to the new rearrangement of the Abelia, so it's not part of the Linneaceae family, how they call it. So I didn't test it because it's a very out group. It's very far. So I could have done it, but I was pretty sure that would be very different.
Any more questions?
Nope.
If not, let's thank you.
Thank you.